Let's take God's word tonight and go to the book of Revelation once again. We've been going there quite often in this series. The King is coming. The King is coming. And we definitely believe that the King is coming, and we're ready for that. And I pray that you're ready for that as well. We're on lesson number 13, and we're all the way at the end of the book of Revelation. We've been journeying through, as I mentioned. Revelation 20 is where we'll start off, and we will be working our way through various passages of Scripture tonight. The theme of the lesson tonight is the last judgment. The last judgment. And here's the aim and application for tonight. If you have the book, it should be listed for you. If you don't have the book, that's okay. The textbook. To recognize that all those who reject Christ will be judged by Jesus Christ at the great white throne and then cast into hell for eternity. And that statement alone is not very politically correct in 2026. To say that somebody is going to be cast into hell. And many would say, I thought God was a God of love. Why would he cast anyone into hell? And if you read your Bible and you learn what God's word says, you will learn this. God is not choosing that anyone go to hell. That decision is being made by the individual themselves. To reject God. To reject God's teaching. To reject God's word. And so God is righteous. God is just. He let Jesus Christ, his son, come. And we'll talk more about that. So this is the aim. The application is this. And it goes right along with this morning's message, quite frankly. Choose today where you will spend eternity. Now, maybe you've already made that choice. Praise God. I'm so thankful that our salvation is eternally secure. And it is a present possession. We are not waiting to have eternal life. We already have it. We're just waiting to go to heaven. Praise the Lord. We're not going to die twice if we know the Lord. If we know the Lord, we die once. If we don't know the Lord, we die twice. Choose today where you will spend eternity. And again, I think you would want a pastor to be honest. It is your choice. You can choose. You can reject or you can receive. Again, my admonition to you is don't reject. Humble yourself and be willing to receive. Receive the greatest gift ever given, and that is the gift of eternal life. Receive Christ and make heaven your home. Let's read our theme verse again one more time. I'll read it. You can just read it quietly. Revelation 20:15. It is the last verse of that chapter. God's word reads, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Does anyone need a Bible, by the way? Do we have any, Brother Kim? Did we bring any over with us? Okay, they're all out. They've all been handed out. Okay. Maybe remind me to bring a few more next week. Yeah, and I'll get more of those. Thank you, by the way, all of you ushers that help. They didn't do anything wrong. I was just checking. So this is our theme verse. Go up to verse 10. "And the devil that deceived them." Notice that. The devil that deceived them. He is the great deceiver. We've learned in previous lessons that it wasn't always that way. He was at one time called Lucifer. He was the greatest angel God ever created, the most powerful angel, and pride got a hold of him. And he had to leave heaven, and many angels left with him. And so it says here, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. So we've considered the eternal doom. This was last week's lesson. We were looking primarily at that verse of Scripture and others along with it. We've also learned that for 1,000 years, Jesus Christ is going to reign on earth, called the millennium. Would you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6? During this time, it will be universal righteousness. What does that mean? Well, Satan's going to be bound. And so when the deceiver is bound, there will be righteousness. There will be no wars. There will be no rumors of wars. Because Satan is the instigator of all of that. Remember, God is about peace, not war. Now, he obviously is just and right, but God is looking for peace. But unfortunately, the devil is the opposite. And so he stirs the pot, so to speak. 1 Corinthians 6:2, the Bible says, "Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world?" Saints are referring to believers. Saints are referring to Christians, people that have trusted Christ as Savior. "And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?" So God will rule the earth with Christ. The children of God will rule the earth with Christ. If you're saved tonight, that would mean you. That would mean me. And so after we come to the end, let's go back to Revelation 20. Now we have the last part of this chapter. We have the account of the last judgment. Okay? Now I will say to you tonight, this is a very solemn, sobering portion of Scripture. We don't go through this gleefully that we're glad somebody will be part of this, because there's going to be people at this judgment. This judgment is not for the saved. This judgment is for the lost. Our judgment will have already taken place. And that's called the judgment seat of Christ, where we are judged not for our sin, but we are judged for our works. What did we do for God after we got saved? And we'll be judged then. But this is the last judgment. This is the judgment of the lost. So, four significant things to point out tonight. Number one, this is the final judgment. The final judgment. There will be no other judgments after this. There are many judgments in the Word of God, but this is the end of all judgments mentioned in the Word of God. It is final. As you recognize that from the Word of God, then we can be assured that our judgment, the righteous judgment, meaning the judgment of the saved, will have happened prior to this, as we said a moment ago. That is what we said earlier, called the judgment seat of Christ. Would you go with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 14? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans chapter 14. And verse number 10. "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." So maybe you want to make note of this. Maybe you want to underline it. This is for believers. "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." So when we have this judgment, it's not going to be the Anchor Baptist Church speaking for you. You're going to stand before God. I'm going to stand before God and give an account. You understand that? Give an account. I'm going to answer to God for my life. God in his omniscience will know everything about me. There will be no hiding anything. Now, again, this isn't about my sin. Keep in mind, praise God for that. Where was our sin judged? Where? The cross, right? The old rugged cross. When Jesus said, "Lama, lama sabachthani," my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What was happening right then? Right then, what was happening is every sin you committed or I committed was being poured out on his son. And God had to turn his back on his own son. Because, why? Because unrighteousness was placed on him. My unrighteousness, your unrighteousness. It was judged. The songwriter said, "Jesus paid it all." And praise God, all to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain, but his blood washed it white as snow. So it's only through Christ that we can miss the final judgment and be a part of this judgment. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this, rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I think that's far enough. That goes and speaks of the judgment seat of Christ, pardon me. The great white throne judgment that we're reading about here tonight is the final judgment. It is prior to the new heaven and the new earth. Look at verse number 11 again of our text. To me, this is one of the saddest verses in all the Bible. You see it with me? The Bible is what we need to learn from, amen? I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. There was found no place for the unbelievers in the kingdom. No place. They would not be allowed to go into heaven because of unbelief, and that didn't put their faith and trust in Christ. To me, this is a very sobering verse of Scripture. Look at 21:1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. New heaven and a new earth. At the great white throne, the lost of the earth will stand before the Lord. The color white reveals the holiness and purity of our God. Turn to John chapter 5, and let's see something here that the Apostle John, one of the disciples, not John the Baptist, but the other John, John the Apostle. Look what he writes in John chapter number 5 and verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto thee, who? Son. That all men should honor the Son, Jesus Christ, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. You know, this is something that, this is a great verse, by the way, to mark in your Bible and be able to refer back to. Because, you know, in many religious systems, and we don't have one, by the way, as we said this morning, we are not a religious system. We don't believe in systems of religion. We believe in a Savior. It's only through Christ. But notice how important it is that God's Word says how the Son should be looked at. He's looked at as who? God. He's not just a prophet, or else it wouldn't have been written like that. No, it's written like Jesus is God. He is the Son of God. He should be revered as God. And, you know, when you talk about Jesus to many people, as long as you don't start talking like he's God, you can have a good conversation. But there are a lot of times when we start going into what the Bible says about who Jesus is, and we don't just label him as a good man, we label him as God, that kind of ends the conversation many times. But we need to know why we believe what we believe. These are two great verses of Scripture to have marked down to understand why we believe the importance of honoring Jesus Christ. He is part of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ will sit on the throne. This is the final judgment, number one. Number two, this is the judgment of the lost dead. The lost dead. Now, before we go into that, let's look at Revelation 20. We're back and forth, but have a piece of paper in Revelation 20, because we'll go back there. Look at verse number 6. Here we have a beautiful picture. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Notice, on such the second death hath no what? Power. Amen. That's the saved. On the saved, those that are holy, why are we holy? Why are we blessed? Not because of what we've done, but we're blessed and holy because we have the record of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to our account. And when God looks at us, he doesn't see Ben Turner the sinner. He sees Ben Turner the son of God. I mean, the child of God because of the son of God, pardon me. He sees Ben Turner redeemed. Notice what it says here. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There's again reference to a beautiful picture of the resurrection of the saved. We are going to be resurrected to reign with Christ. The second death has no power. What is the second death? Revelation 20:14. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Tonight, if you are here, tonight, and if you are not a Christian, by the way, remember, you don't become a Christian by walking into a church building. You don't become a Christian because your mom was one and your dad was one. This is a decision that you have to make, a conscious decision that you have to make. I can't make it for you. Brother Kim can't make it for you. You have to make this decision. But God wants you to make this decision. God wants you to be his child. But if we go out into eternity without God, without Christ, we are not going to be, the first resurrection is not going to be what we're going to experience. In fact, it says here that death hath no power. That's not going to be about you if you don't know Christ. Now, it's my job and it's my responsibility to tell you that. It would be very, very sad of me to say from this pulpit that everybody's going to heaven. Because that's a lie. That's the lie of the devil. Can you imagine right now if a man of the cloth were to speak regularly and talk about heaven as if everybody's going there, and the whole congregation would come and hear that all their whole lifetime, and because the man who was behind the pulpit always spoke of God letting everybody into heaven, everybody's going to go there. It doesn't matter if you're Christian, Jew, Muslim, it doesn't matter. Everybody's going to go to heaven. By the way, that's taught and preached. But that's a lie. It doesn't matter that I'm a Baptist. It doesn't matter that somebody's a Presbyterian. It doesn't matter Church of Christ or whatever denomination. You can name all those denominations. And if I were to, for 30 or 40 years, preach a message, a false gospel, can you imagine what would be hanging on me when I stand before God someday? And by the way, those false teachers and preachers, boy, I would not want to be in their shoes standing in front of God. That's why I'm telling you what the scripture says, not even what I say. What does the scripture say? If we know the Lord, the second death hath no power on us. I say hallelujah to that. But if we reject God, then we are Revelation 20:14. We experience the second death. Again, this is a choice that you make. There are two resurrections that we are noticing here. Notice verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in those books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. Notice it says the dead. Why? Because there's no life in hell. It's constant death. Wow. Suffering. It's not annihilation. I don't believe the scriptures teach that. Meaning when someone dies, they get judged and then it's all over. And I don't believe the scriptures teach that. There's eternal judgment. Notice what it says. And they were judged, every man according to his work. Somehow, some way, all the people of all time that were already passed away, they're going to all be delivered up. So just like we are looking forward to the time when we get, once we die, of course, we get buried, and then someday the Lord returns, and then what happens? The dead in Christ rise, and they're reunited with their body, right? So this is actually, the lost are reunited with their body as well. They're reunited. It's a resurrection. But not the one that we're looking forward to. This is a different one. And then they experience the judgment of the lost dead. He said, John said, because John is the human penman in verse 12, he said, I saw the dead, small and great, those who have been buried for centuries, land or sea, they will come forth. Body, soul, and spirit will be united to face the judge. And everything is written down. Notice that. The books, right? No one's going to be able to say, but your honor, you don't understand, because the books are going to be right there. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to look like. Must be a giant book, books, because every person maybe has one book. I don't know. The point is, I don't need to worry about all that. I just know this. No one's going to be able to point a fist at God and say, you know what, God, I didn't have a chance. God, it was just this or that. No, those days are done. Again, we're not going through this tonight with glee and happiness. Because I know there are people in my life and in your life that are already passed away. And as far as I know, I have some family members, they passed away without Christ. What does that mean, Pastor? It means they're going to be the lost dead that we're talking about right here. I don't say this with glee or happiness, but it's my responsibility to preach the whole counsel of God. It's your responsibility to, and my responsibility to, warn as many people as we can. We don't necessarily have to warn them with hell. We have to show them the love of Christ. Yeah, we have to talk about judgment. We have to talk about the penalty. But we want to show them first and foremost, God loves you. God has a plan for your life. So this is the judgment of the lost dead. Number three, I kind of got ahead of myself. They will be judged out of the books. Somehow, every man's sins are written down. Secret sins will be brought to light. Again, this is the unbeliever. Sins never committed openly will be brought to light. All sins brought to light. But what is the greatest sin? Is the greatest sin murder? Is the greatest sin, I don't know, whatever you think of. What is the greatest sin? Are the greatest sins what man would say the greatest sin? Is the greatest sin what could get you the most time in prison? I would say no. While those are great sins, many of them are sins against mankind, and they are bad, they are wrong. But the greatest sin is not against mankind. The greatest sin is against a holy God. The greatest sin is against the Creator God. The greatest sin is against the God, the only true God, who says, I love you. John 3:16. What is that greatest sin? The greatest sin is to reject God's gift. You know how it was when somebody wanted to give you a gift, maybe when you were a child and your parents were there, and maybe you didn't even act like you wanted it. And your parents or your kids maybe, and you were the parent and you were like, you know, take it and say thank you. Show some appreciation, right? Oh, but think of the day, like this day in Revelation 20. I don't know what it's going to look like, but there's going to be a whole host of people. And I pray that number will decrease, because we can continue to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and people will get saved and miss out on that great white throne judgment. And the books then will be burned up that are with all their sin, because they will be cut, maybe not burned up, but covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then all those books that are being recorded for that individual, once they get saved, those books are done away with. No more books. Why? Because Jesus Christ steps in, takes that penalty for them. I praise God for that. There's no sin so terrible as refusing the loving Savior. Oh, dear friend, Jesus Christ loves you so much. He died on the cross for you. He allowed the Roman soldiers to nail him to a tree. He, being the Creator God, allowed his creation to nail him to a tree. He loves you so much. What more could you want? What more could I want? This is the greatest sin, to reject. By the way, it is the only sin that cannot be forgiven. We call it the unpardonable sin. It is not suicide, as some people would say. Suicide is a sin. God is the taker of life. But it is not the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is rejecting God, rejecting God's gift. Because once you reject God's gift, once I reject it, I've received it. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that tonight. But once somebody reject God's gift and they pass away, there is no more hope for that individual. I'm saying that based on the word of God, and I'm saying that based on the fact that if we know people that are still alive that are not saved, might we pray for them with more passion? They are one heartbeat away from hell. They are one heartbeat away from this judgment in Revelation 20. There's no sin so terrible as refusing the loving Savior. Lastly, number four, in our text, we see the outcome of the judgment. The outcome. Look at verse 14. I know I've read it, but let's read it again. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Will any be saved who stand before the great white throne? Will anybody get saved at this point? It appears from the word of God, and I do believe the record is true, that none will be saved at this point. Death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. Would you turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, the Gospel according to Luke. Luke 12, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Verse number 47. The Bible says, Luke 12, 47, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be required, of him shall be much required, pardon me. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. What is this telling us? Jesus is speaking here, and he is telling us that men will be judged according to their works. In other words, in hell, there will be a difference, but it will still be hell. What do I mean by this? It is my belief, based on verses like this, that the punishment in hell will be different. Levels of punishment. Just like in heaven, there will be different levels of reward, different levels of punishment. Some people have heard the gospel more than others. Now, everyone has the knowledge of God in their heart. Romans chapter 1 tells us this. So no one will be able to stand before God and say, God, you never gave me any help here. But we know, everyone here knows tonight, that there are some people, I mean, you think about the gospel in England over history. You study church history, as I did in one of my classes for my master's degree. It is amazing how much gospel witness was in Great Britain hundreds of years ago. And even in Holland, where many Baptists were stood for the truth, and were persecuted and even killed just for the simple belief in believers' baptism. If you've never read about church history, I would encourage you to do that. So somebody getting baptized, like in this tank back here, if they did that, the Church of England, the Reformed Church, would put out a bounty for their life, and they would kill them. Why? Because of believer's baptism. Can you imagine that? But prior to that, much gospel was in these countries. But you see what happens when the gospel comes in, and over time it is rejected. You have that first generation that are really excited about the things of the Lord, and if that second generation doesn't grab a hold of it, I'm just looking at it in a sense of 1, 2, 3, not necessarily time periods like we're 2026, but maybe within your family, maybe you're the first generation Christian. Praise the Lord for that. Now it is your responsibility to pray and show and teach your children so that that belief, that you can't give them your belief, but you can show them from the Word of God what it means to believe or be a believer, not just what it says, but also what you do. So that when they have a decision to make by the grace of God, they will take that baton from you and say, yes, I know it's not my daddy's faith, but it's my faith. And I believe the Word of God to be what it is, the Word of God. And by the way, there's an attack, so much of an attack just on the Word of God being some kind of a fairy tale or being some man-made book. We know that this isn't a man-made book. We talked about that this morning. This is the eternal, inspired Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And praise God, we still have freedom in Canada. How long will we have it? I don't know. But it's our responsibility to take the gospel message. Plant seeds. You know, this morning we had a couple visit. So glad they came. And you know, we had these blue flyers. We've been looking at them for well over a month. Started off with 47,000 of them. Then we decided, okay, we got to put stickers on them now because the anniversary already came and went. But we have a few thousand left. You don't want to just throw them in the garbage. So we put stickers on them. There's some out there. Whatever's left, Brother Kim, out there, let me have tonight after church. I want people to be able to get them later. I'm just saying, if there's any left, don't put them in the barrel. No, I'll get them afterwards. Sorry, Brother Kim, sorry. I just don't want them in the bucket. I want to take them with me to my car and use them. But you feel free to take some on your way out. What I'm saying is we only delivered about 1,500 of those, maybe 2,000, and we had a couple come this morning with one of those flyers with a sticker on it. So encouraging. People are still searching. Don't think for a minute that nobody wants the truth. People are still searching. We've got to plant seeds. We've got to ask God to bring the increase. We are not winning souls. God is winning the soul. But we are to be a soul warner. Warn people. Share the love of God with them. Tell them what the Bible says. Give them a gospel tract. Witness. Why? Because there is a final judgment. I was listening to a preacher of yesteryear last night. His name is Adrian Rogers. Adrian Rogers was not an Independent Baptist, but he was a Southern Baptist. Very, very strong Bible man. And very big church in Memphis, Tennessee. I encourage you to look him up, listen to anything, because everything, God had his hand on that man. Very conservative, that's the word I was looking for. Very conservative. Last night he told a story. And the title of the story was Save Me, I think it was. The story goes that there was a house of some kind that caught on fire. I don't remember because it was one of those shorts where it just kind of picks up in the middle of something and it only lasted for about 1 minute. So I don't know the kind of the whole context of it, but enough to tell you that it was something where a fire took place and there were people in the building. There were children in the building. And one of the fathers of one of the children that were in the building came onto the scene And this was, it had just been happening. The, you know, it was really hot, and it was engulfing, starting to engulf it. But he could see his son in the building. He heard his son say, "Daddy, can you save me?" Like any father would do, he started to go into the burning house, and people restrained him because there was no way he was going to go in there and come out. It was too intense. And Pastor Rogers said that the story went, it said that, it's a true story, that one more time the father looked into the flames. One more time he heard, "Daddy, save me." And he said, the young boy perished in the fire, as well as others. And he took that story and he talked about how that in our world today, people are looking to be saved. They may not know exactly what they're looking for, but maybe they're trying to be saved by having a good career. Some people say to alcohol, "Alcohol, save me." Alcohol has never saved anybody, folks. All it does is numb the pain. And guess what the pain does? It comes back again. Some people look at narcotics and they say, I need, save me, and they do drugs. I'm not making fun at all because I've had people close to my life that have done both of those things repeatedly. But folks, those things don't save. Some people say to the church, save me, and they come every Sunday, or they even read a Bible, or they try to be good to people and try to help people and try to be kind old ladies, save me. Doesn't work. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Someday there's going to be this final judgment. I believe it, or I would go do something else with my life because God has called me to preach the word of God. I'm not saying that you men and ladies that are doing other things, that's what you're called to do. But I'm saying I'm called to do this. And if I didn't believe it was true, I would go do something else. There's going to be people in that final judgment. Save me, save me. No hope. Too late. Just like that fire that dad had to look into, according to this book, not according to me, but according to this book, death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Folks, may God help us that we know the truth. We know Christ, to pray for people that are lost. Don't give up. Don't give up on your parents. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your neighbor. Don't give up on your coworker. Don't give up on your cousin. Don't give up. If they're breathing, there's hope. Amen? Seriously, you've got to believe that. If they're breathing, there's hope. Pray for them. If you're here tonight, and you're breathing, I'm not trying to be funny right now, and you're lost without Christ, there's still hope. Don't say no, though, to the love of God through Jesus Christ. Even tonight, on this 5th of July, say yes to Christ. Let's pray.